All right, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, it's been a hectic last few weeks. I mean, I guess it's just always hectic, but everything's starting to come together. Things are looking pretty good. We can talk more about it in a little bit, but yeah, we finalized the terms of the investment. The wire hit the bank, got the new investors on board. So things are really ramping up. It's been not that much work getting there, but there's a lot of planning back and forth and this and that to kind of finalize it. So it's nice to just have it signed and money in the bank. And now it's just kind of executing the plan. But yeah, how are things going on your end?
That's awesome. Yeah, similarly from our end, we're not done, but we have a very definite path at this point of kind of what we're going to do and can talk about it more once that's done in a few weeks. But it's nice to kind of have that decision off my plate, you know, of like, do we raise equity? Do we raise debt? Who do we raise from? All this kind of stuff. So we have that figured out for now, at least. And I think the nice thing is, I don't know if we talked about it on the air or off air, is it doesn't have to be a binary decision, you know, of like debt or equity or angel or, well, venture is a binary decision, but basically everything other than that is like, you can do a little bit of everything. And I think that's the path we're going down. So that's cool. And yeah, I think like you guys were, you know, we're kind of hiring ahead of revenue a little bit. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today is like, that's just kind of the idea of this podcast and kind of where we both are is that to get from kind of where we are in terms of growth rate and scale and type of company to where we want to go is either just a long time. If you're kind of totally bootstrapped, I want to do this by myself and create this kind of huge cash cow business, or add resources to the team so that we can grow more quickly and have the people on the team grow the business instead of it all being on our shoulders, which is nice, you know, nice to think about. And I think kind of where we both are is, you said it before we started recording, is like the team is the most important thing at this point in like where you're spending a lot of your time, right?
Yeah. I mean, and this is definitely a newer direction for me. And just as I think about the company, and I'm not really going for some moonshot unicorn company, but I am thinking about it a bit differently than I was before, where in my mind before, it was just something where, okay, this is going to be a $2 to $5 million a year business. We're going to run very capital efficiently, and it's going to spit off dividends. And so it was just trying to keep the team lean with that in mind. But as we've done better with hiring and gotten more of the right people on board, it's really shown what's possible. And it's opened my eyes more to the idea that, okay, like for us to scale, there are a lot of unknowns. And I didn't really want to own all of that and have myself on a 5+ year journey from here, pushing in a lot of new areas and this and that. But as I get a team around me who can help in those areas, who can take other things off my plate and just really fill out the responsibilities, that's more where I'm going now. Is I think there's a clear path where short term, not a ton is changing. With the investment, we're able to make some hires to get where we're going a bit faster. But long term, I'm definitely now more from the mindset of let's see how big we can make this and who do we need to get there. And so it's like, so far the hires have been relatively straightforward on engineering. It's like, where do we need the most help? Okay, back end, we have Ben, who is actually a listener of the show, is working with us. We're getting a good chunk of his time as a consultant, making some really good progress there. We already have the team in place on the front end. We have another data engineer, just brought on an analyst to help with the models. It's just been kind of more like, okay, like here on the product and tech side, it's just easy for me to think, okay, where is the problem? Who can solve that or at least own that or whatever it may be? It's just like in the rest of the business, it's just more amorphous. It's harder to pin down the potential roles outside of even support. And so that's really where the area I've been trying to wrap my head more around is where do I need help on the parts of business that like I touch? Because there are so many different things that it's not like I can find one person to just do all of them. So yeah, the big thing we've been working on is Ross joined as a part-time support rep about 6 months ago. He got up to speed really quickly and has been doing great there. We brought on another part-time support person who also has been doing well. And so that's freeing up more of Ross's time. And so I'm trying to find other responsibilities that he can own and drive forward. But there's still like, there's just like other things And I'm still pushing back a little bit on the idea of hiring a marketer, because I had a call with Len Marketin last week. So he is a CMO at Podia. He was my boss at Groove. And I really respect his opinion around building on marketing teams and just in general, his opinion on things. And it tried to model a lot of what he's done since joining Podia, is bringing in the beginning when you were small, working with a lot of specialists, freelancers, agencies, being active with them, not just kind of putting them in and letting them do whatever they want, but being active with them and being slower to bring people in-house until you've really built out the playbook and have a clear path for what they're going to work on. And I just feel like I don't have that playbook yet. So the way I'm at least looking at these hires is get Ross to execute a lot of what I've built out on. A lot of it is marketing. It's kind of success stuff where we know what works on driving signups, on driving conversions, and just have him take more of that so that I can be sort of an explorer and just like try new things and try to build out some of those newer playbooks. And it's like, as I get traction, then have someone come in behind me to take over. But I'm just very hesitant to bring in someone to just build from scratch. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's a lot of onboarding for the people we've just hired and then shifting Ross's responsibilities. But as I get more bandwidth, it's going to be figuring out, all right, do I need an EA to take some of this admin off my plate? And then where can I get some help on the marketing? But yeah, kind of a bit of a brain dump there. But yeah, there's just a lot of things running through my head as I sort this out.
It's really interesting what you said about Len and kind of his approach to kind of like modular team building with like specialists, contractors, or freelancers. Do you feel like the limiting factor, like the bottleneck for you with that would be your ability to kind of like identify like a new channel or a new tactic or something that you want to go after and you kind of leveling up or figuring out how to do that for kind of what your application in the space you're in and stuff like that and getting that first test out there, seeing the results and then deciding if you want to hire that person? Like, do you think that's like the place where you'll get stuck a little bit in terms of like velocity?
Potentially,
you know?
but I don't know if that's a bad thing. I think that's almost more of a feature than a bug, because if I'm getting stuck building out this new channel, I think it's very likely that someone more junior than me, someone less familiar with the business than me, is not going to get traction there. That's my approach to it. I think if we had raised millions of dollars, if we were in a like a true VC environment where we could have multiple bets going at once, we could hire more senior people who have built something out from scratch in this channel before, I would be more comfortable bringing someone in saying, all right, we're giving you a budget and you're going to work just on ads. Or, all right, like we're going to build out our affiliate program. But we got 350K, a good chunk of change, obviously. A lot's going to go towards development. And there is still some left over for my side of the business. But I think that's where, again, like I can be hard on marketers and like marketing departments, but I think that's where you don't get an ROI as easily, is you have someone come in to build out something new that you haven't proven. It can work. It's just significantly more risk than I'm willing to take, because I don't think we need a ton of channels to get to where we want to go. And I have a very good idea of like what could work. So it's like, let me do a little bit more exploring, prove this out a bit, and then say, all right, there's something here. Now let me find someone for this. Or this is way too hard for me to figure out. I don't think this is worth investing in. But I just think I need to prove things out a bit more before getting someone in there.
Interesting. Yeah, I think the challenge with spending on marketing is the uncertainty and the difficulty in measuring that investment in the business. Because we're in kind of a similar boat that like we want to, I'll say, invest in growth, you know, not from a product perspective. And so that means like sales or marketing or both. And I think that like sales is a lot easier. Well, I don't know. It's a little fuzzy, but it's a lot easier to say like this person closed 5 deals or 10 deals or whatever. And like, that's like, they got to get the leads and convert them and they got to be good customers and good fit and not churn and all that kind of stuff. But like, that's a little easier to look at than to say like, okay, we want to bring on a marketing person. And like, what does that mean? You know, like, what does that mean What do they own? What does success look like for them? I think those are, I mean, because we like, we're kind of in the same boat. It's like, we want to hire somebody to affect revenue, right? And like, we've had a job posting out for a salesperson for a while. I haven't seen the person that we want to hire yet. We just put out a marketing posting because kind of saying like, you know, if for whatever reason, like the sales thing isn't working out, let's get somebody in here to do this, because otherwise you'd be waiting 6 months to find the right salesperson. But I feel like when you talk to Len, I'd be curious, or like from your experience at like Groove or whatever in the past, is like, it's not easy to measure. It's like not an okay answer, I feel like. Like, it has to be measurable at some point, you know, to be able to say like, we are doing this, we see this like kind of direct ROI in content marketing or in community or in whatever. We need to now, like, we're really convinced that we can go do more of this. You know, like, when does that certainty come in, you know?
Yeah. The way I think about it is just, I think at our scale and with our amounts of funding, where it's like we have funding, we have revenue, but we don't have like an infinite bank account. I just think it's kind of crazy for companies in our position to focus on any kind of marketing that's not direct response, that's not measurable in some way. When I say this to someone, like, we have shitty analytics, like we don't like actually track everything we do, and we probably should work on that. But like, it is still like the things that we're working on, I expect to drive results directly in some way. And I just think, yeah, until I could see at some point down the road experimenting with having someone who's in charge of like managing our community and growing that. But that's where like, yeah, I don't know how we'd measure that, is one of those intuitions where I feel like there's value there, but I don't think we're at a position to invest in something that's not measurable. So I guess to me, it's, I just avoid those things that aren't as measurable or aren't as close to the revenue. Like again, like, I'm not actually measuring a lot of this. I do think over the year, we're going to get better analytics and tracking in place, but it's just avoiding those things that are, they drive results kind of through osmosis, where you're just like, yeah, like if we do enough of this, some of it's going to shift over here and we'll get some more customers. I think that's where a lot of companies go on content marketing. They say, all right, we're going to build this audience. And then some of them are going to somehow get curious about what we do and start a trial. Right. And some of those are going to convert. And it's like, I just avoid that stuff and focus on the things where, all right, like the people who are reading this, it's high intent, it's bottom of the funnel. Like if they're reading this, they're going to be a good fit. I'm going to do whatever I can to push them to the next step and so on. And like, yeah, I long story short, I just think you avoid the things that are harder to measure until the cash matters less.
Yeah.
What has been your shift from, obviously there's like a time matters, like you want to move faster. So posting up a job ad for 6 months doesn't make a ton of sense. But as you shifted from saying, okay, we were looking for someone in sales, but now we're looking for someone in marketing, other than the time, what drove that? Like, is there overlap in the position, or is this just a different direction you're going? How did you go from one to the other?
Yeah, I think the truth is we need both. And we could hire both, like from a financial perspective, like we could hire both. I kind of personally don't feel like we could hire and I could onboard and like two people at the same time could be successful, just the logistical perspective. But yeah, we definitely need both, right? We need salespeople to drive the private subscriber and the corporate stuff. And we need a marketing person to just kind of raise the whole boat. And one is not right or wrong. They're just different, is kind of how I look at it. And so, yeah, I mean, I think we'll continue to look at new applications that come in for the sales role. We have a couple more interviews going, but yeah, I mean, I think a really good marketing person, because we do have a fair amount of stuff figured out around like that, like content marketing and SEO and all that works. And I think somebody to come in and just do more and better at it is the thing. Cause like, I think the one thing we've seen is like, I go in kind of fits and spurts of like, all right, let's organize our SEO and we do that and we let it run for a few months and that's cool. And we're still pretty organized there. But then like, when do we look at like reviewing our onboarding sequence? And when do we look at like what our on-page conversions are and how to optimize those? And I think back to like Denise being on the team and owning all that stuff. And it was just like a weight off my shoulders to say like that person owns that responsibility, you know? And like whether, I don't know, like whether we need a full-time person to own that responsibility or not, I maybe is the question I should be asking myself is like, maybe we need a 10-hour a week conversion rate optimization person. And maybe we need a project-based person to review our email onboarding sequence. I don't know. Like I'd not really considered that.
That's more the direction I'm trying to go, where it's like, those are the things that I know work. Like we're getting results there. I don't have the bandwidth to optimize them, to improve them, to like audit it and all of that. So it's like, we're having someone come in who you recommended to work on kind of an SEO audit. I'm open to having someone come in on copywriting.
It's a tough one.
That's going to be hard for me to give up, but I could see value in just having another perspective on our funnel, on the offers we have out there. And it's like, at least kind of like sort of an audit there. And I think if we do start getting traction in PPC, which frankly, we probably won't experiment with till the end of the year, I could see bringing in like an agency to manage that, or even just a freelancer to do that. But it's very compartmentalized. Like if I could find someone who isn't necessarily a jack of all trades, but was hungry and wanted to get their hands dirty and was able to really own all of those things, I would be open to it. I don't know if that would get better results than having a true specialist in each of those areas. But to what you were saying, like, yeah, I think the way you described Denise, like that's kind of how I feel like Alex and Len felt when I joined the team at Groove and just working at Hubstaff and with other companies. Like I feel like I kind of filled that role of, they don't need to worry about this. They can come to me with ideas. They know I can own this. I can do a bunch of different things. I'm adaptable and this and that. I don't think that was necessarily the highest ROI decision, but I think from peace of mind, they know these things are under control and that matters a ton. But I think from an ROI perspective, it's probably better to get specialists. And like, we're not at a scale where we need like one person full-time on SEO or one person full-time managing our ads or things like that. So that's why like I kind of go with the consultant approach, but I don't know. At the same time, like it would be really nice if I had like a mini me who could just like handle these things. Like even if I was overpaying for it or whatever, like it would just be nice because I know how much of a relief I feel having Ross and Chris on support, having Ben and Brian kind of take the lead on front end and back end. It's just like nice to not have to worry about it and know that things are moving forward there without me doing it. And so like I could see it as not an ego hire, but like one that might not be financially justifiable in pure dollars and cents, but I can see the appeal of it.
Yeah, I think that the thing that comes to mind as we kind of talk through this is like one, I think like saying the two things of like marketing and attribution of marketing is hard to measure, and then the ROI of a marketing person isn't kind of justified or whatever. I think there's just a lot of intangible benefit of having a person that all they think about all day is the customer experience and the funnel and stuff like that. At the same time, I think this is could be the strategy we take is like hiring a junior person. Like I think you need to hire a super senior person like Len, you know? And really the way that we reconnected is I called you to see if you wanted to join Castos a year and a half ago, or you hire a pretty junior person. And like, frankly, like when Denise joined the team from a SaaS marketing perspective, she was really junior, who is super hungry and capable, and you can level them up. And I think about Christopher Gimmer from Snappa in this respect, like he hired somebody right out of school who was just sharp and a good writer and just taught them everything they know. Cause their whole thing is, you know, SEO content, email marketing, and all this kind of stuff. And like that world is not super hard to learn, you know, to say like, I can find someone right out of school, 50 grand, 60 grand, maybe to kind of have them come in. I'll spend, you know, an hour a day talking to them for the first month, and then they should be able to run with a project. And like, I think that's the, for me, that's kind of the strategy is like, we have a project. All right, we're going to work on the onboarding sequence. Go do your best at the onboarding sequence. Bring it back to me next week. We'll talk through it. And that's how I view it is like with these kinds of roles, I don't know, just having somebody that owns it, whether they're the most fully capable person or not, like I think at the kind of funding we have, you just can't afford those people. They probably want equity too, or somebody that's just super hungry and capable, and you teach them the tactical kind of knowledge that they need.
No, I agree 100%. And I think from a capital allocation standpoint, I view it as that's a nice to have, but the specialists, the consultants,
yeah,
the agencies, yeah, whatever, are going to be a higher return. So I'm going to invest there. And then when I feel like our bases are covered and there's enough cash for it, then it's like, I agree. It's squishy on the ROI, but there is value there. But I just think I got to invest first where there's a clearer ROI. But no, I think, and I honestly think a lot of it isn't laziness on my part, but it's just, I don't think I have enough. I'm trying to think about a phrase. It's like, I don't think there's enough sanity in the other parts of the business from like a management perspective for me to devote to truly like mentoring and managing a junior marketer. I'm not like ready to bring that on right now, but I think a lot of it is not just, I don't want the responsibility, but like, I don't think we have enough sanity in the other areas for me to devote enough time to really level up someone that's junior. And I think as we shift Ross's responsibilities around, as I explore getting an EA and other areas, like that's the goal, is getting things more like just building up better process, building up a better team in those areas so that I can devote more bandwidth to marketing. But I just don't think I'm there yet. Mm.
You mentioned EA a few times. So just an update there from our end. So I did hire somebody that started the 1st of January. And she was really great, but I found that like we worked together for the first month and it was kind of like you alluded to, I think like more pressure on me than like relief. You know, like turns out we don't have a ton of like manual jobs to do all the time that need to get done all the time. And I think that may be like the caveat of that is like, we have things that need to be done on the 1st of the month. Like I would love someone to be able to pay our contractors in PayPal, you know, and like I can just have somebody do that for 2 hours a month, you know? Yeah. So worked with this person for January, but then told them just after the 1st of February that like, we just, you know, this will be our last month together because yeah, it was just more pressure on me than relief. And I felt
you were like had to find things for her to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to come up with things for them to do. And I think this is where like the VA or the EA model falls a little short if you're not ready to do that, to offload things to somebody that's really capable, you know? Like if you're just having a person that performs tasks, right? Is like the term that I think a lot of VAs say is like, do you have any tasks for me? And like, that's just more work for me, you know, like I want somebody, I think about this with like the marketing discussion too, is like, I don't want tasks. I just want ownership, you know, like I just want to say, go improve our visitor to trial conversion ratio. And I'm happy to talk to you about how we can do that, but I don't want to have to do a Loom video for everything that you do. So I think that, you know, when I look at the failure there overall from my perspective, like it's a little me. And not being kind of organized enough to be able to delegate that many things to somebody. It's a little bit kind of like where we are in the business. But I've talked to a bunch of people that say like, oh, I couldn't live without my executive assistant or my VA. And I'm glad we gave it a shot. You know, it wasn't like super expensive talking about like experiments. I see the value in it in certain ways. And maybe I'll bring somebody in like 10 hours a week to do some things. But as a full-time thing, like it's just, it was not a good fit. And it wasn't the person at all. She was wonderful and super experienced and capable, but it was just not me.
Do you think though, like she was based in the Philippines and Do you think there's, it could work? Because I've thought a lot about this, and I have come at it from an angle where it's like, okay, I need all these processes, these repeatable things, but it's like, I'm like you, where it's like, that's not what's holding me up. Sure, there are a few things that come up each week or each month that, like, yeah, I could spec out and like hand that off. But like, it's more the ad hoc things that are coming in. And my the way I've shifted is more, I think it needs to be a true like executive assistant and someone who's paid 30 to 40 plus an hour, who on Mondays or a couple times a week, like I can just go through and say, here's all the shit that landed on the plate that like needs to be done. Please do these things. And I don't know if that's just like a pipe dream, but that's kind of what I'm more looking for, is again, someone who can figure things out on their own, who doesn't, everything doesn't need to be spec'd out, even if it's not repeatable or whatever. It's like, they can do a good job of getting most of that done. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But I'm wondering, like, did you look at someone who might have broader experience in that type of role rather than a more traditional like virtual assistant, maybe?
Yeah. So I've definitely thought about that, as, you know, like, as I kind of admitted my failure to myself and, you know, that we kind of wrapped things up with the person we hired is, yeah, I think if I did this again, I would actually hire a chief of staff. And I, like, in my mind, I don't know if this is right, it's like VA, EA, executive assistant, and then like chief of staff in that kind of order. Maybe it's the same thing, but like a quite senior person that could like take my place in meetings. We have a marketing, we have a development, and we have a support meeting every week. And they're wonderful, super productive meetings. But like, what would it take for somebody to do those instead of me? Like, I think it takes two things. It takes people on our team to be true like leaders, to be able to run their groups. And like, we're on the way there for sure. And then things like, you know, doing partnership deals instead of me being there. Like, you know, these big companies, like the CEO doesn't do everything. They have, you know, they have people that are able to be responsible for really high level things. I think that could be a really interesting hire. They would need to be an exceptional person, I think, you know?
Yeah, it's like that chief of staff role, I couldn't define it, but it just seems like that's it. Like that's what I want. We're not at a place where I think that would make sense yet, but I do think that's kind of the goal. I do think, yeah, right now it's again like getting some more things off my plate so that I can consider bringing on an EA and then figuring out what else to do as we build out this team. I mean, for you, you've talked about pursuing different avenues of debt, of investment, of other ways of bringing in additional capital. You've talked about hiring sales, hiring marketing. What are the other spots that you're looking at for hiring?
Yeah, I think that two other are both like product related. One would be like another kind of full stack developer. And I think the other would be taking our person that does design and front end work from part-time to full-time. Like that's just really natural. And then the other two that are very fractional is a QA person to do, acceptance testing. And then on the front end of the product process, someone to kind of help scope and firm up like new feature scoping. And they're related because like if you're able to tightly define what a feature is up front, then you're able to QA test it afterwards, right? Because right now, both those just live in our head. You know, like, I want this thing to do this. And when they click the button, it opens this. And then they, you know, the person gets the email or whatever, to be able to put that on paper before you start working on a project. And then to be able to test against that later, I think is the next thing for us from a product perspective, because we still spend, I mean, we've come so long. So we come so far in this respect, but we still spend a ton of time, 75% of the way through a feature. And there's a question and I've not thought about it. And the developer and the designer have to get together and redo something that we're doing. And so like, it's a continuum, but working as far as we can towards that not happening. And those are both 10-hour a week kind of roles, I think. You know, it's not anywhere near full time, but I think those two people will bring really interesting perspective and structure in a good way to like the product process and the development team.
The spec and the QA to me seem like different roles. I think the person who does the spec could do the QA, but that's just a much more senior, that's like an architect thing, whereas the QA is a bit more junior. But I guess I would be hesitant to have someone on the spec and design part, not the like product design, but like literally like the architecture part be part-time, because it just seems like that is so important. And they like, that's someone who needs to really get the context. They need to kind of understand all of it. I know you have a developer that's been with you for a while, but do you have a CTO or what?
No, like, what no, no.
Okay.
But and I think that like, I don't know, we were talking about this. So I was talking about somebody is like a head of product is an interesting hire. And that from my perspective, like it could be our designer. Like he doesn't have a lot of domain expertise in podcasting, but he definitely understands, you know, UI and UX and everything. So it could be him. But this person, this kind of like person to really nail a feature spec, I feel like just needs to be in on the call when we kind of, when I say, hey, I want to build this thing. And then we unwrap that. And then they go and like we record the Zoom call and they go write it out. That's as far as I want to take it. And then we review it and we, you know, polish it. And then the designer designs it. He implements it on the front end. They hook it up to the back end and it goes to QA. QA says, you know, hey, we wanted the button to be blue. Is the button blue? Yep. Okay. And then it can go to like me and other people on our team to, you know, futz around with it. But I think the problem we've run into is too often the feature is done and it's wrong, you know? And it's not anyone's fault. It's that we didn't spell it out clearly enough. And as great as our developers are, they make a bunch of decisions that might not be right. So anyways.
There's a ton of decisions that we've got to make here. I don't think it's ever going to get any easier, but these are kind of the problems we got to tackle this year. So I'm excited to hear your journey as you get deeper into the hiring process of this.
Likewise, yeah.
I'll be sure to share my successes and failures, but yeah, it's been good kind of just getting this out there and just talking.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Always enjoy it. And yeah, anybody has any questions or comments, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. We'll chat with you next week. All right, awesome. Cheers, Andy. Bye.
See you guys.